Hello and welcome to another episode of the Paper Pencil Podcast Season 2. I am, of course, Swarnavo. I host this show and this is a place where I get to have lovely conversations with people from the art world. If you enjoy listening to this episode, do consider subscribing to the podcast and do the amazing job of telling your friends about the show. You can also follow us on Instagram to stay updated on the upcoming episodes and other fun stuff if I plan to do so. The page name, of course, is Paper Pencil Podcast, so do make sure to search for that. All right. So today I'm going to be talking to Mansi. Mansi Joshi is an illustrator and animator. She is self-taught and is a great example of how to create a cult following in today's Instagram algorithm-based world. I've seen a few of her animations and I thought it would be, you know, a good idea to understand the process and the thought behind them. She has a very different yet simple art style, you know, very clean lines, a very unique color palette, extremely Indian themes across all her work. And of course, you know, a lot to do with the backgrounds and the interiors as well. So if you ever look at her illustration or her, you know, animation, you will definitely notice the amount of work, time, effort that she puts into the background of this whole thing, right? So let's get this started. Mansi Joshi, MJ, welcome to the PPP, which is Paper Pencil Podcast.
Hi, glad to have you. That was a lovely introduction. Oh my God. First time someone is introducing me like that. I don't know how to react. But thank you. I'm really excited to be here. As I told you earlier, that I've heard, I think, almost all episodes of the podcast. And when you're messaging, I was like, oh my God, is this happening? Did you just message me?
So let me ask you this. Let me right away put you into a difficult spot. Which one was your favorite episode in season 1?
I love Pranita a lot. That was the first episode that I heard because I was looking for some work of hers on the internet and I found your podcast. Mm-hmm. So that will stay my favorite episode, I think. Yeah, that will be my favorite episode.
Sure. I hope Pranita gets to hear this as well. Perfect. I'll definitely forward it to her. Yeah, I'll definitely forward it to her once this is out. Perfect. So, Mansi, I from what I understand is, and I think you also mentioned it slightly before we started recording, you recently started off, right? Like in terms of, you know, the whole, let's say, social media presence or, you know, trying to kind of make your own style or something. From what I understand, probably you recently started off. Again, I'm not sure. I would love to know your story. And this is, you know, the question I ask to begin the conversation with everybody, you know, about the guest's journey, the artist's journey. And of course, you know, I also do know that you are from Indore, the land of really good poha. Again, we discussed this before the recording. I'm yet to go there and have the poha, which I've had Indori poha. And you know, when I used to stay in Pune, of course a lot of people from Indore over there, and the Indori poha scene was a big deal over there. So yeah, why don't you start off, you know, from Indore and maybe, you know, take us through your journey and how you landed up where you are today. So let's go into that.
Sure, okay, so as it starts for everyone, I think it goes back to the childhood. So I was born and brought up in Indore in a joint family. My grandfather, he had actually migrated from a really small town in Maharashtra to Indore, looking for better money-making opportunities. Right. So he came to Indore pretty young. I think he was in his early 20s. When he came, he didn't have like anything. He came with nothing, but then he built his career over here, eventually got married. And my grandmother, she was an academic. She had a double MA in economics and in music. Then they had a family.
Oh, wow. Year. Two absolutely different things.
Yeah. And then
absolutely other ends of the spectrum.
And then she was excellent at math. So all her life, she was a mathematics teacher. So economics, music, and math. So like any other Desi family, academics was really important in our household. Even my mother, she has done her MA in civics and has an MPhil degree in geography. Yeah.
Do you have a master's degree? Everybody so far has had a master's degree.
I'm the only one in my house who doesn't have a master's degree. So yeah, a house of academics. Grew up in a joint family. Then as a kid, I'm the youngest. So there are four of us, my elder sister and then my uncle has two kids. I grew up looking up to them. All of them were really doing well at school. So it was something that was expected from me too. I was decent at academics. Then, so my siblings, my cousins, they were all sent to these all boys, all girls school, convents.
Right.
So padhai was the main thing. They were all very studious. But then when I was born, I went to kindergarten, nursery, and then they realized, ki, oh, ye thodi alag hai. Iske saath, this is not going to work out. So they were like, we are going to enroll her in a different school where they also focused on extracurricular things. So
hey,
that's what they did. Yeah, and so at my school, I did well at academics too, but then there were other outlets too. I was good at art and crafts. I used to draw a lot. Again, my mom is a really good artist too. So maybe through her genes somewhere I got this. And I used to love to draw, paint, art and craft, doing that. Then I was into basketball, badminton, all of this stuff that kids do in school. But then again, I never thought that arts could be chosen as career. And this was something my family also never like thought that I would do. So academics was the main focus. I got into 10th and then you need to take a subject. Then I was like, my sister, my siblings, they were all into, they all did engineering and they all went abroad, did their masters. And I didn't even know that something like arts could actually be pursued. My school didn't even have that as an option. So there was, you either take up PCM, that's physics, chemistry, maths, or
the
you take up commerce. Yeah. So, and when I went to my principal, I was very confused. So when you choose your subject, they take you to the principal and they kind of give you career counseling, something like that.
Oh,
when
that
I went there,
good.
No, that's not good. They were not
because
qualified.
I've not heard of a. I get the issue, but no, that's I'm sure a lot of people listening over here would also agree that at least in my school, for that matter, I don't think there was a counseling as such. I don't think, yeah. I think it was only, you know, based on a certain level of marks that you would be eligible for a particular a stream, and based on that, and also its availability in that school. Otherwise, you know, you'd have to change schools to find that particular course elsewhere. But counseling, I do remember, was there. You know, when I joined college, I think just before you know, college, there was this one phase. But yeah, school mate, that's very I didn't know that existed. That's pretty cool.
It was
actually
just an
but
elaborated
I do get
version
your
of this. Yeah. It was just an elaborated version of this where whatever your marks were, you choose a stream according to that, and then the principal just lectures you a bit on it. So I was really interested
in art. Is this like you know, Dumbledore helping you choose the house or something?
I wish it was like that, but it wasn't. I'm a big, big Potterhead. I wish there was actually a sorting hat that could, you know.
Right, exactly. I thought, like, you know, the principal probably had a sorting hat in one side, and maybe, you know, you go there, you made to sit, and that whole drama happens. Okay.
Yeah, so everyone in school was quite aware that I was that art kid. Like, in school, we had these houses, na, red, blue, green, yellow. So I was the one.
Which house were you in?
Yellow.
Oh, yeah, I was in yellow as well.
Oh,
sorry. Yeah. Very nice. Damn nice.
Did your house perform well in school?
Right, exactly. True. Absolutely. Like, without doubt. Without any doubt. Yeah. I know a lot of people would disagree, but kya jata hai?
Same. A lot of people disagree, but kya jata hai?
Yeah.
Even I would represent my house for these inter-house competitions. Then the school would send me for drawing inter-school competitions. So that way I was doing well. My family knew that I was drawing karna aata. So whenever there was a birthday, they would be like, Mansi card bana. But yeah, that's it.
Oh,
it wasn't encouraged beyond that. Like, marks were the major factor. So even while choosing a stream, I was very confused. I went to my professor, the principal. And she was like, nahi, iske to she has really great marks. She needs to take PCM. There's no other way. She can't even take commerce. Because I think that is how people perceived kids. Ki if you're the smartest, you go for PCM. If you're like, okay, then you go for commerce. If you don't do well, then
you think
take
about
one.
It. Like, you're
Which
right. You're
so
absolutely
bad.
Right.
Like,
but I agree. But then, you know, I kind of want to disagree with one statement that you said, which is, if you are, within quotes, the smartest, you go for PCM. I think if you are the smartest, you will run away from PCM. At least that's what I feel. But anyway, yeah, and it makes sense. You're right.
But
like, you know,
16-year-old doesn't know that now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like,
and a 16-year-old may have gotten that 90s or 100 marks in that PCM, for that matter, because either this guy did ratta, like, you know, just randomly just mugged up everything and, you know, vomited it out in the answer sheet, or probably, you know, was a really smart kid and actually cheated his or her way through the exam, which I would kind of like a hashtag respect for that matter, I know. But yeah, you're right. Like at that point, you don't know. And how would you know? How can you take a decision? I know everybody did. All of us listening here probably have done that. But doesn't it feel weird now later in life?
Weird. To realize now that I...
You're asking, chalo, choose something which you'll be like selecting forever. Yeah, you're saying something.
17, that's yeah. Like, oh my God, you're so young. And I literally chose it because at home, my sister, my cousins, they had done that. All my friends in school had chosen that. So I was like, what else can I do? Like, same. Arts is not even an option. Even if I like it, that's not happening. Right. And then I got good marks. So family was like, "Arey, then why do you want to choose anything else?" I'm like, "Theek hai." Then I chose that. And on that, we had an option to choose physical education or we could choose IT, computers, coding.
Okay.
And I was like, "No, I'm going to go for computers." And then for 11th and 12th, so how Kota is really famous for these coaching classes now?
Correct.
When I was in my high school, Indore was also. So for IITs, Indore had all these top 10 kids were from Indore, a lot of them. And so my parents enrolled me into that coaching center. It was like every alternate day, 6 hours a day, you have school too. And then I wasn't really good at chemistry, so I went for an extra coaching for chemistry. So I came home at around 1:30. I quickly had my lunch. I went to that chemistry class that was 1 hour long. From there, I directly went to my coaching, which was like 5.5-6 hours. I came back home at 9. I did my homework. Next day, school. Then that one day ka break, I got to do my homework. Next day, again, coaching. I did this for two years. I don't even know why I was doing this. Like just because I scored good marks. So did this for 2 years, gave my boards, got decent marks. And then, you know, I was preparing for engineering. So I gave these JEE mains and JEE advanced exams to get into these colleges. And in my coaching, we used to have these mock exams. And whenever I gave those, I always cleared JEE mains and got to the JEE advanced level. When I gave the actual exam, I didn't clear the JEE mains cutoff by 2 marks. I still remember the cutoff was 115 and I got 113. And I was heartbroken. Like, ab to kya life khatam.
Of course.
I didn't know what to do. Before that, I think the boards were and the exams were in March or April. And in November, I had this breakdown with my parents that I am not enjoying this. I don't know why I'm doing this. But this is the only thing that I know how to do. That's why I'm doing it. And then the exams came, so I forgot about it. But then I didn't clear the cutoff. Then, you know, I sat back. I was analyzing what's happening, what I should do. And my family has always been very supportive. So they were like, it's okay. Through JEE means also you're going to get a good college. It doesn't matter. You won't go out of state. You will get a good college in the city maybe. And I did get a good college. But then by then I had actually started realizing that I don't see a motivation to, you know, go ahead with this. And then I didn't even know what else I could do. So I remember a friend of mine had told me that she wanted to pursue architecture. And all I knew about architecture was that they draw and maybe they use a bit of math. So it's like...
Math, same.
Yeah, for family, quote unquote, it is still considered smartness. It's still considered something a smart person would do.
Correct.
They're like, chalo, let's do this. So I prepared for 10 days. I gave that exam. And 10 days, mein kya hone wala? People prepare like for 2-3 years and then they get into good colleges. I got a decent score when then I was looking for colleges in Gujarat and Maharashtra because I know that SEP, which is a college in Ahmedabad, it's a very good college for architecture in India. So that was my goal. So Gujarat was one place that I was looking at and Maharashtra because culturally I could relate. So... Then in Gujarat, I didn't get set, but I went to Gujarat and I saw other colleges. I went for a visit. And then there was this one college that I saw in Baroda and I just fell in love. So my main goal for going for college while preparing for this exam and while I was enrolling for college was I wanted a great campus.
Of course.
Yeah. So I went to Baroda and I saw this one college which had a great campus. I loved the vibe. I was like, idhar hi jaana hai, papa, final. But then I went to this other college which is just one building. It was a university. In that one building, one floor was given to architecture and design. And I standing there on the ground floor, I looked at the building and I told my dad, ye to nahi ho raha. Not this. I went up and they had their exhibition going on. So they had all the student work displayed. And I fell in love. I was like, I am going to go here. Nowhere else. This is going to be my college. So we spoke to the dean. He was a great guy. He was like, beta, you don't have enough marks to get into architecture, but we have this different course we design. You can get into that. So then we went home. We contemplated a bit about it. Is it something that I want to do? Because again, you see, we design, and then in bracket they wrote interior, so it was interior design. So then everyone in the family was like, interior design, so decoration, that's not smart. Do you really want to do this? But then my dad is very supportive. Like, he read the whole brochure, what opportunities open up for you after you do this degree, you pursue this degree. And he was like, maybe you should do it if you really like the work that they had displayed, and if you really want to do this, maybe go for it. So I enrolled. I got into that university, and like, best decision till now. Best 4.5 years of my life. Made the best friends. Like, once you get a design background somewhere, I feel, because I came from a conventionally conservative family, I would say, I really opened up once I went to college. And
What do you mean?
Just opened up about worldview in a way. Like, a lot of new ideas. You meet a lot of people from different cultures coming in. A lot of different ideas. And generally, I've seen people in design are much more open-minded back when I went to college. When I would speak to my other friends from school who were pursuing other degrees.
Got it.
The ideas that they had were different from what we had. Like, now there's a lot of, you know, society is changing now, but this is like 8-9 years back. So there was a lot of conversations that people are having now that we used to have back then.
I think the general sense of exposure And also, like you said, like, you know, people coming up, and you're right, because, you know, I think, sadly, because also I think it is, you know, one of the factors is that how the education system is and how people are taught. So I went to an engineering college, and, you know, I do realize that engineering also has a huge potential, or it is, of course, you know, about thinking. So the whole idea of thinking and contemplating about stuff and, you know, reflecting about stuff, that is there. But I don't think that curriculum is built in a way where you get the space or the chance to even do that. You're basically running from one book to the next and one semester to the next semester, trying to get those marks and move out. That's it. It's like a factory you're into. But on the other hand, at least that's my idea, or, you know, idea from outside, or the outside in perspective that I have about design schools would be that, you know, the chances of you to think, reflect would be a lot more, and probably those conversations would go deeper compared to, you know, somebody just coming and putting up a presentation and talking about that and moving out of the day. So I think you're right, like, what you're saying makes sense, that the level of conversations would be very different.
Back then, I remember design school, I don't know what the scene is right now, but design schools were very badnam also that time, that spoiled kids go there. Before enrolling, I think one of my dad's friend's daughter, she was like, you know, uncle, just think about it if you want to send her there. They do all kinds of things there. Like, my dad was really scared that, okay, should I or should I not? But then once you go there, you realize that it's really upon you what you want to, you know, involve yourself.
Because I can say the same thing about engineering college as well. I've been to an engineering college. I can say the stuff that happens, the badnam stuff that happens there is way more badnam that you would find in design colleges, for that matter. So that goes, and think about it, right? Like, I was very shocked when I got to know about that. A lot of medical colleges also are badnam because of similar things, and I'm like, what the heck. I think if you look at all three of them, I would say design colleges are still kind of naive and innocent compared to all that stuff. But again, I don't know a lot. But,
but it's also like how people dress up. Like my dad.
Yeah.
So a lot of my friends have this art ka jhola which they carry with, where they have all their stationery. So you can really distinguish an artist from other people. They wear like printed kurtas. My friends wear.
So that's me. So that's me these days. I over the period of years, as and when I moved more into art, and that's also, you know, last year the conversations I was having with the other guests who've come into this podcast so far, you know, I slowly developed a perspective, and I kid you not, right now, let's say if you compare my cupboard, let's say, you know, my wardrobe 3 years ago, not too far away, let's say pre-pandemic versus now. Okay, yeah. Pre-pandemic versus now. Pre-pandemic, I was still doing art, but, you know, my art was not that... I won't say I would say it was very limited to in terms of the scope of things, right?
Yeah.
After pandemic, through the last two and a half years, what happened was, I think I found a different... you know, way to look at things and way to look at my journey as well. So today I probably consider myself a little more of an artist within quotes compared to what I thought of myself 2-3 years ago, right? Now my wardrobe, Mansi, like you said, has exactly changed the same way. So, you know, before pandemic, you would find me wearing outside. I'm talking about when I step out.
Yeah.
Okay. You would find me wearing a graphic t-shirt. Okay. A graphic t-shirt with something, some cool stuff written on it, like so-called cool stuff written on it. I would be out wearing a jeans and a t-shirt. Today, if you open my wardrobe, like my bahar ke kapre, right? Which is like I would wear outside the home. I do not own a single graphic t-shirt. I just own one, which I got as a gift from one of the NGOs I work for. But apart from that, a single. All of them are these printed. And today I'm going towards handloom and all these, you know, artsy looking stuff. And I am enjoying wearing them so much. So yeah, I get what you're saying. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like back then, this a lot of stereotyping was happening for design people. I think it still happens, but we have changed a bit. I don't know. So yeah, I got into college, had the best 4.5 years. But while I was doing that, I realized, okay, even this is not my passion. I like doing this. I like designing spaces. I love it. But then I was still thinking, what is it that I want to pursue? And one thing that I realized that as a kid, I've always loved storytelling. I've always loved writing. Even when you're designing a space, there's a story that goes behind it. Like in college, we would get assignments like design a house for this family. So that's not even a family. Mm. Like we had a project where we had to design a home where a teacher is staying with two of her students. Like she has rented some space out for them. So you need to design a house like that. So you need to develop a story that what is the relationship they have with this teacher? What kind of
price? The persona.
So through college, I realized that I really loved this bit of design, like creating a storyline. And I loved writing too. So even when I was in school, in 6th, 7th grade, I've always tried writing books. I was really into reading as a kid.
So
I would sit on the computer and like write stories. And then I would ask my dad, will you publish this? And he would be like, yeah, if you write well, why not? And then I would write a chapter or two and then call it a day. Done.
Right.
Yeah, so in college, I realized that maybe this is something that I could do. But again, writing as a profession, you don't know how stable that is and if you can really pursue this. And I was doing well in college. Again, good at academics. So
correct. That's like your, you know, that's like your double-edged sword. Like one way you're doing good, getting good marks, and then it's kind of coming back to bite you also.
Anyway, I did my undergraduate and then again I got a gold medal in that. So my family was like, that you really enjoy this. You're doing well at it. So you should just continue with this. So I was like, yeah, this is good. I got a gold medal. I worked hard for it. But then I am not enjoying this. But chalo, let's give it a try. And I applied to some firms. I had applied to some firms in Mumbai also because again, Mumbai is like sapno ka shahar. So in my head, I was like, I'll go to Mumbai, I'll do this job and side by side, I'll also try other things that I like. So at this time, I think on YouTube, spoken word poetry was something that had garnered a lot of attention from people.
Correct.
There are these different platforms, Commune, Paper Tail, and Anirudh's
Poetry. I think this was around 2015-16, right? That's the time I also remember when suddenly this kind of shot up. Yeah.
So I don't know. I started thinking that maybe I could go for open mic events because I like writing a lot. And that time I created a very embarrassing page on Instagram where I would, share small quotes and things. Oh my God. It was called Girl with a Feather Quill because I was a Potterhead, so something like a feather quill. And I
Wait,
don't know
I
why.
lost you. What was it called? What was it
Girl with
called?
a Feather Quill.
Girl with a Feather Quill. Nice. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I do see the Harry Potter reference there, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I think I got some 1,000 followers on that, and this was again back in 2014, 2015, which was I thought I was doing good, and I'm like, chalo, ye abhi rocket
Yeah.
hoga, and then I'm going to do something big in this. Of course, nothing happened,
Right.
and later on, I started finding the content I posted on that very cringe, so I deleted that account.
Oh.
But then, by the time I moved to Mumbai, I was doing this job at a firm. This was when 2019, I think. Yeah, so recently, I moved to Mumbai. I did the job, and then 2019, 2020, were the worst years for my mental health because now I was in the real world.
Right.
I wasn't sheltered in college, but still, I had a loving circle of friends. And then
Right.
Mumbai is really harsh to a newcomer. The life is very tough. It's very fast. I love Mumbai. I really love Mumbai. If someone asks me today if you want to move back there, I'll move back in a blink. But still, I realized I wasn't enjoying my work as much. There were a lot of toxic things happening around me, and so I started performing for spoken word also at this time. And I performed for
Oh,
Commune and
nice.
Paper Tail for events. So somewhere things were happening, but at the same time, my 9-to-5 job wasn't giving me the satisfaction that I wanted. Somewhere I had realized this in college, but because again I had performed well, I thought maybe let's just give it a try. It
Right.
didn't work out, and mental health wise, I was doing really, really bad. Like I had some very dark thoughts. It was a really bad time. And then 2020 pandemic came. I came back
Right.
home. The whole atmosphere around us at that time was very mellow, and mental health went for a plunge.
Right.
So worst time. Like I would call my sister stays abroad. I remember because of the time difference, we could only talk morning and night miss. I would call her, and every day I would just cry that I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I'm not enjoying this. I have this job. I
Then
can't leave
what?
my job. How will I earn money? And
Correct.
then I started therapy. So when I started therapy, even for spoken word, nothing was happening at that time. So I just felt completely lost that I don't know where my career is going, where my life is going. Like waking up was a task at that time, 2019, 2020.
Okay.
So then when I started seeing a therapist, therapy really helps. So if someone is struggling, go for therapy. Highly recommend it. So when I went to therapy, we were discussing ideas about my career, and then simply my therapist asked me that what are the things that you enjoy? I was like, I enjoy drawing, I enjoy storytelling, that's it. And maybe I'm good at, I don't enjoy, but I'm good at designing spaces. So she was like, why don't you link these three? And it's such a simple statement, but at that time it felt so
True.
alien to me that how can I link these three things? They are so different. For me, storytelling was spoken word or writing stories. For me, drawing was like looking at a reference image as drawing. And spaces were
Correct.
spaces. So linking them was impossible for me at that time. But again, at this time, I was following a lot of illustrators on Instagram, one of them being you. And
Oh,
I used
yay.
to love the work that people were putting up. And in pandemic, all of us were really free. And so I just thought, let's just learn Illustrator as a new skill. So because I have a design background, I knew Photoshop, so Illustrator wasn't as
Right.
hard for me. YouTube
Correct. The
has a
UI is
lot
very
of
similar.
tutorials. Yeah,
Correct.
YouTube had a lot of tutorials. So even on my account, I haven't deleted anything. So if you scroll down the first post, it's so bad. I've made something on Illustrator, ऐसे माउस से, I've colored it, like no light shadow, nothing. It's very bad. But anyway, so I started learning Illustrator. I was enjoying that. So I just made an account on Instagram just for fun. I didn't expect anything from it and started posting things on it. Then through therapy, I started, like my therapist started telling me, you should actually give this a thought, linking these three things and doing something. Eventually, I left my job. My mental health got better. I stopped therapy. I was in a better place. And then I used to post on Instagram just for fun, like as a hobby. I'm learning this new software, so I used to post things. And then I stopped posting. And I wasn't doing anything because 2020, when I took a break from everything just to work on my mental health, I had made this page back in 2020, I think. So in 2020, I posted for some time. Then I stopped posting anything. I took a break from everything, worked on myself. And then I thought of it that, you know, maybe I should try doing something what my therapist was talking about. So then I started making comics, because comics is storytelling and drawing. So I started posting a lot of comics, and then I started taking this a bit more seriously, that maybe this could be a career. And then I got some traction on Instagram. People started following me. And at that time, I also was designing my parents' house. My parents just retired, so they're like retirement house. So I had one project going on, something to keep me busy. And on the other hand, I was doing these illustrations. And this is when that whole idea of the number game came in my mind. Tere followers kyun nahi badh rahe, followers kyun nahi badh rahe.
Right.
And then I just started like posting regularly, and then you get a little bit greedy. Now you're like, "Arey, thode aur followers ho jaye, thode aur followers ho jaye." Like seeing this, we should be people who will be like, "Arey, number game mein mat padho." But at some point, you really want that. When you are thinking of this seriously, you want to pursue this as a career. It does matter. So that happened. Numbers nahi badh rahe the, kam badh rahe the. Then I got demotivated. I was like, nahi karna ye. And I left that for a while again. Then you get over it in a month or two, because you realize you still enjoy doing that. So you can't really just stop something that you really enjoy. So I got back to it. And then this on and off thing on Instagram continued. And by this time, you know, reels weren't that famous. So 2 years back when I started, Instagram was still a static post medium.
Correct.
But then reels started doing the rounds, and people were posting things. I saw illustrators posting a lot of animations. So then I thought maybe I should try animating. And my earlier animations, if you see, they are very bad. So I animate on Procreate. I still animate on Procreate. Procreate is not very convenient to animate.
Correct.
I want to
learn Adobe Animate.
But I don't know when I'll learn a new software. Anyway, right now it's Procreate for me. It's just easier. So yeah, these animations, I started posting some animations. I made a character, then I had a storyline. I posted 5-6 reels with that same character. Nothing was happening. And then one day I was like, you know what? Forget this number game. I'm just going to work really hard on something. I like storytelling. I'm going to think of something random. Whatever comes to my mind, I'm going to give it some time. I'm going to really draw something. I'm going to color it well, and I'm going to animate something. And that's how that first reel happened, of that mother and daughter, which went viral.
Correct.
So at this time, I was actually abroad. I was visiting my sister. She just had a kid. This was last year. So I was there for 2-4 months. And at that time, because there was no social life and COVID was still big in US, back then. So we were just living in our bubble. We were just at our house with this infant baby. And so I had a lot of time, no social life, just a lot of time. So I used to draw every day and post every other day. I was working really hard. And then for 1 month, I just made that animation. It took me 1 month to make it. I was like, even if no one watches this, I'm going to make this. Just to prove it to myself that I can do this. So I did that, and then I didn't post it for another month because I was in US, and I thought Instagram algorithm, if it just shows it to people around me, like foreigners are not going to be interested.
They won't connect,
They won't connect. So I need to come back to India and then post it. So in March, when I came back to India, I strategized. I was like, I don't care if no one watches it, but still somewhere in my head, I was like, yeah, thode log dekh le, please. So I came back to India in March, and I posted it. So my goal was ki chalo 1000 logon ne bhi dekha, so it's a big number for me, because my reels would go to what, 300-400 views, and so then that happened, and slowly that reel became viral, and then that blew up, and then the account blew up, and then I started getting a lot of opportunities, work opportunities. Yeah, so that's has been the journey till now.
Wow, that's good. That's good. And I do see a few, you know, I was taking a few notes also to kind of go back and ask you a few things, but I do see a pattern here, which is you are like genuinely quite hardworking. I do see this, like, you know, right from your school days, where you getting the marks kind of shows that you did work hard as well. Like, I don't know if you enjoyed it or not. You mentioned it, you did not enjoy it, but you definitely worked hard on it. So that's something which I can see in you, something as small as, I honestly wouldn't have thought of the fact that, oh, I'm in a different location and Instagram may show it to these. I honestly wouldn't have thought of that. I would have just posted probably. Like, ha, chalo, okay, let's just post it. So I do see that quite a bit. I also do see a lot of patience on your site as well. So I actually wanted to ask you a couple of things, you know, based on what you mentioned. The first is, let's talk about the BDesk course, the Bachelor's of Design course that you did, which was on interior architecture. So, you know, again, for the benefit of people who are listening, or who may be thinking of, you know, finding a good college or a good course or something of that, or maybe you're in school as well. What is the difference between architecture, interior architecture, and interior design? So these three things.
So architecture is all the buildings that you see. So exterior, mainly, just dividing it that way, exterior. Interior design is primarily interiors, and interior architecture is somewhere in between. So for interior design, the courses out there, I think they are, what, 2 years, 3 years courses where they focus on the interiors. In my knowledge, I might be wrong, but in interior architecture, which my course was, for first 1.5 year, we had the same course as the architecture students. We studied the same subjects, the same curriculum. And then for the rest of the course that we had, that was left, we had specialization. So there are different studios. We design homes, we design retail design stores, we had theater design. So yeah, a lot of different things from which you can then choose what you want to do your master's in or what you want to apply for as a job. So interior architecture is somewhere in between where a barren structure is given to you, just columns, beams, and then you design everything else. You can do that. For interior design, I may be wrong again if someone is doing that. And if I don't know, but it's more towards decoration where you get in the furniture, where the art piece is going to come. While for interior architecture.
Would I be correct if I say in interior architecture, the furniture does not come into the picture? Is that correct?
It also comes. So we also deal with like plumbing, electricals.
Got it.
So, you know, it overlaps. Some things that come under architecture, some things that come under only design, it overlaps. So right now, like the house that I'm doing for my parents, it was just, it's an apartment. So the builder had given something, but then we didn't like what he had done. So I ripped off everything, like the electricals were changed, the plumbing was changed. Then I did the fixed furniture, I did the loose furniture right now, designing handles, like small details. So a turnkey project, everything. Like you just give us a barren wall with nothing, no electricals, no plumbing, nothing, we can do that.
So I think when you mentioned the retail bit, I think that's where I could connect. So, you know, for a short while, I was also last year working, last year and early part of this year, I was working with one of the major retailers in the country. And, you know, I was, of course, not as any bit of a design. So that was my day job. So I was in the training team over there. So that's where I kind of figured out, you know, things about, let's say, visual merchandising and all of those things.
Yeah.
And I remember, and this, this point takes me back to a conversation I was having with one of my, you know, I wouldn't say colleagues, but somebody in the same organization who was in one of those teams. And she was trying to explain to me, you know, the different roles that are there in retail, let's say, and the fact that a visual merchandiser is, of course, somebody who takes this space and, you know, plans it and where the fixtures would be and let's say where the clothes would be and where the different items and signages and light and everything would be. But before visual merchandising team, there is another team that comes in who actually takes the barren space, like you mentioned, and first gives it that first layer of, you know, functionality and aesthetics combined, which then is given or handed over to the visual merchandising team, which they take up and, you know, they do, of course, do their magic on top of that. But I think that's making sense. I think that's making sense. You take a barren space and, of course, you know, you plan out the different things. And I think a fair bit of an idea. Sure. The next one, I would like to, you know, come to the next part of your journey, which was around the Mumbai bit. So, you know, I remember you mentioned that Mumbai was very harsh and it is very harsh to newcomers. Now, I have not stayed in Mumbai, right? So I visited Mumbai ample number of times. I have stayed in Pune for what, three and a half, four years, but I have never really stayed in Mumbai as a, you know, as a part of the city, right?
Yeah.
Now, but on the other hand, I have heard this so many times that, okay, you know, Mumbai is very harsh on its newcomers and, you know, fast paced and this and that. In fact, like a couple of my very good friends who stay in Mumbai and, you know, I get to hear very similar stories from them. But tell me this, for all the non-Mumbai people or let's say, you know, people who have not been to Mumbai, what is this whole thing about the city that makes it very harsh? Like, again, I'm trying to understand from a very curious perspective, what does this city, damn it, do that people start getting so affected? They're like, oh my God, and my friend also the same thing. She's like, you know, oh, I love this place, but I, you know, I hate this place so much. I'm like, so why don't you move to Bangalore? She's like, no, but I love this vibe. Oh my God, this vibe is amazing. I'm like, yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah,
same. I can relate.
So it's
a love-hate relationship.
So why? So, what, like, does it do?
Mumbai as a concept is amazing, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
But practically staying there, and again, I'm a person from a design background. You know, design doesn't pay you a lot. For newcomers,
right,
it doesn't
right.
pay you anything. So even the house that you get initially, you have to pay rent. You have to travel.
Mm.
So these basic practical problems in life, there are a lot of them. And to overcome that as a newcomer, you're just out of college. You're barely, what, 21, 22, 23, whatever the age is. But yeah, it's, you're too new to all of this. And the city is very fast. Yeah, everyone is just moving and hustling. Like,
so
big.
What does it mean? So what does it mean? Everybody has told me the same thing. The city is very fast. Everybody is moving. Everybody is fast. What does that mean? Like, is everybody like running all the time? What is happening? Because when I have been to Mumbai, you know, I've been to a... No, but I have actually been to an Irani, like bunch of Irani cafes where, you know, I remember the last time I visited Mumbai, you know, it was super early in the morning. Like, I think around like, I don't know, 7:30 a.m. in the morning, I was walking around, you know, that Oval Maidan area, like your fort of Oval Maidan. It was like nicely taking a walk there. It was so nice. It was slightly chill also. You know, the humidity had not come in. The roads were empty. Oval Maidan, where people were exercising, playing cricket and whatnot. I really had such a nice load down time. I went to, like, you know, a nice Irani cafe, had some really nice stuff. Where are people running? I, of course, have not been to the,
you
know, the railway stations.
Now,
as
that's why. You were a tourist now. As a tourist,
okay, so
that's what I'm
happens?
Saying. Mumbai as a concept is great. Like, if you are a tourist there, you're going to love it. Marine Drive, sit there for a long time. It's amazing as a concept. But, like, as a person working in Mumbai, it's so calculated, everything. I knew that from my house, the local station was a 6-minute walk. From there, it took me 21 minutes to get to my office while I stationed. From there, it was an 8-minute walk to my office. So it was that calculated. If you need to be on time, you can't miss your local. Or, you know, this local mein bheed kam hogi, so you need to get into that one. And if you don't go by local, like, one time, it's so costly, like a one-way journey. It's so funny, you can't afford that thing. As even as a design person, though, you can't. You don't earn as much. So that means...
That makes sense. So what you really mean is that, you know, you have to be super planned is what it is. And that's why you are like, oh, if I get... there's a domino effect. So let's say if I wake up 2 minutes late, that means my 6-minute walk will take me 6 minutes, of course, because it can't be more or less. But the idea is I'll reach the railway station 2 minutes later by when that Khali train has already left and now I have to wait for the next train, which may not be... That makes sense. So, you know, that way, I think Mumbai people will have a completely nightmarish experience if they come to Bangalore, because at least in Mumbai, you know that walk will take... Exactly. So you have this concept that, you know, it'll take you 6 minutes to reach from point A to point B. And I'm guessing the 6 minutes is a constant. The 6 minutes, probably with a buffer, will go to 8 minutes, 10 minutes. In Bangalore, that same thing can, that 6 minute can turn to 6 hours and you don't even know why. You're just sitting in your car and like, what the heck is happening?
Yeah.
So, you know, what I have started doing, you know, there's something which I cursed myself the last time. One of the times I got stuck in like very bad traffic, okay? Like unnecessarily I got stuck in traffic, no reason. So then I cursed myself, and the next time, say in my car right now, in the driver's seat case side where there's a pocket of sorts, I have a sketchbook and a pen there. So from now, after that, whenever I get stuck in traffic, I simply no gali galoj, nothing. I just simply switch off my car, take out my sketchbook, I randomly start sketching whatever is in front of me, and that's like, that calms me down. So I think that's the only way a designer can survive Bangalore is carry your sketchbook everywhere, because you don't know when you get stuck. So yeah,
that and makes sense. That's why I'm saying that Mumbai is fast, because you know it 6 minutes lagne wale, it will go to 8. But everything is moving, like it will happen. In Bangalore, you're stuck in traffic, so you're stuck in traffic. Everything is stopped, time is stopped. In Mumbai, time never stops.
I wish time was stopped, dude. I wish time would stop, because then you're... See, I am talking about a situation when I'm stuck in my car, and let's say I just have to go home, do the dishes, cook my dinner, eat, watch some TV, probably play some FIFA and go to sleep. But what if it's the other way around, where I'm stuck in traffic and I have to go back home to, there's a meeting which is at a particular time and my laptop is at home. I can't do take it from my phone, and that's when it's kind of, you know, the other way. But okay, this is not about Mumbai and Bangalore. Let's come back. It's about your journey. So okay. So tell me this. So now, of course, you know, I do get it that, you know, your illustration, you kind of began, and of course you had a few, you know, things that you're looking forward to. And then of course you try to mix and match those three things together. And I do see, what you said, what your therapist mentioned, which is, you know, the drawing, the storytelling and the spaces. I can finally say, and that's what I mentioned in your introduction as well, I can finally say that, you know, absolutely, you have been able to manage all these three, four things together. Because, like, for example, you know, I'm looking at your page currently on Instagram. And, you know, of course, by the time this episode comes out, probably this won't be the second post. But I can see a post right now where, you know, you made this reel where it's an Indian living room. The probably an elder brother is lying down on the sofa. Little girl is exactly on the TV. Shaktiman is playing and the mother comes. And it's a very... very relatable, nice story, which I have lived in my own life. I think it may have been with Shaktiman as well, as in like Shaktiman TV pe chal raha, and you know, I'm trying, Ma is out or something, and she exactly the same thing, right? I probably have been through it, but I can tell you this, if I look at this very illustration slash animation of yours, I one do see a very good storytelling being done, because one, it's relatable, a lot of people have been through it. You know, I do see the characters also very relatable, even though I can't see one of the characters' face as well, but I can relate with the whole, you know, the vibe or the persona of that character. I do see the storytelling bit, of course, you know, the drawing bit, of course, and the space. Now, that is something which I found extremely I would say different. That's how your page, or you know, your work, for me it stands out at least, which is your sense of spaces. So for example, the same thing again, the same illustration that I'm talking about, the Shaktiman one, I love one, the perspective you chose, very different. You could have done, you know, you could have placed the camera behind the sofa and you know the perspective would change, but this is such a good perspective, one from top down. Second, you know, I love the what you have done on the floor. Like ideally people would have just done, you know, some lines on the floor and call it a floor. At least I would have done that. But you've gone actually with that whole flooring that a lot of old houses would still have today. The sofa, you know, the upholstery on the sofa, the whole TV cabinet, everything. So for me, that is something which really catches my attention more than anything else. Like your sense of spaces and the way you build them. So that is very interesting. Now tell me this, like, let's say, for example, when you're looking at this or you're making this illustration, that Shaktiman one that we are talking about, why is there a reason why you chose that perspective, like the top down one?
So it was a bit of a trial and error. So I had a storyline in mind where I wanted the boy to be seen, the girl to be seen, and the TV to be in the same view. What could I do to have that in the same... And reel is what this vertical format for your phone screen. So you have limited space to work with your canvas. So I was working with different perspectives, and then somehow I just figured a top view would work the best. And because I have an interior design, whatever you call it, that background, I've been drawing perspectives and spaces for too long. So I'm very familiar with drawing things in this manner. So for me, this perspective ko bird eye karne mein, it wasn't a task for me. I just tried it in a rough sketch and it just worked out well. And the other thing is, I love flooring patterns, because that is the interior style that I work with. Even in my university, like in 5 years or in 10 years, you're going to see everyone would be doing these things in their house. Everyone, like I'm calling it right now. So everyone right now goes for Italian marble, na? Generally, if they're going for high-end like restaurants, houses, Italian marble is the thing to go for. But then, made in India is coming back. Like how you said that you enjoy these khadi or printed or block printed patterns for your
Correct,
clothes.
correct,
These pattern
correct.
tiles are going to come back. So all our houses used to have those when we were young. We all
True,
remember, किसी ना
true,
किसी घर में we would have
true.
seen them. So all of this is going to come back right now. Even the kind of interior that I work with or wherever I moved before, like my place of work, that was we used to work with this kind of material, like pattern tiles, this kind of wall texture, wood, very warm feeling to the space. So I think that comes out in my drawing too, because that's what I'm familiar with. And then somehow
Nice.
that gives it that Indian feeling, what we were talking
Yep,
about
yep.
earlier,
True.
maybe.
Those patterns,
So
those things that you've seen growing up gives it that Indianness to it. Correct,
the
true.
main idea that started this illustration was the flooring pattern, because I made
Oh.
this perspective, this rough sketch, and then I was like, I have so much floor area, I don't want to give it just some tiles or just some stripes. I have so much area, so let's work with some pattern. So I
I love the
then made
fact
the
that you use
pattern.
the word floor area. I think that floor area comes from your interior architecture lingo, because otherwise people would
Maybe.
call has this khali floor. I thought I won't put any of this thing, I'll just put some pattern, but you're talking about a floor area. Makes sense. Take it. Cool. So that's one of the things which I wanted to know. Now moving to the next part of your journey or your story. So you said that after things blew up and things started coming towards you, opportunities came in. So today, what are you doing today? What kind of projects are you working on? Let's talk both. Are you still doing your interior architecture work? And on the other side, of course, with the illustration thing.
So, like the page blew up in March. So, in March, I think I had some 1,200 followers, and then suddenly the views on that one reel skyrocketed, and suddenly I started getting a lot of work. And I didn't get time to, really sit back and analyze what's happening, or it didn't sink in. And before that, I started getting a lot of work, and I was just taking on a lot of it. So, for 3 months, I was working day in and day out, and at the same time, my parents' house was also happening in Indore. So, like my parents, my uncle, all of them are shifting to a place, and it's a big project which is going to take a lot of time. So, I had that going on, and this illustration work going on. So, a lot of things were happening, and the views and the number of followers kept going up. So, a lot of things were happening, and I didn't get the
Right.
time, to really, I didn't understand the gravity of it. No one around me understood it. Even my parents are so innocent, like, so much like, oh, you have 1 million followers, 1 million views. They don't get it. So, for 3 months, I worked really hard, and then I had a meltdown ki bas abhi nahi ho raha, I need to take a break.
Correct.
And
Correct.
then I think for past 2 months, I didn't take on any illustration project. I was just focusing on my parents' interior design work, because somewhere imposter syndrome kicked in. I was like, am I even an animator? Because there are so many underrated artists on Instagram. I would see their pages, and I was like, I'm not doing that great a job. Like, okay,
Right.
I'm doing something which is nice. I should get the credit for that, but this is something amazing. People are animating so well. Like, even if you see my page today, nowhere I've mentioned animator. It's just illustrator right now, because I don't know if I should call myself one.
Wow.
So,
So Matsi, I'm so glad that you mentioned this last part, that you calling yourself publicly an animator or not. Trust me, I can 100% relate to what you just mentioned. Okay, let me tell you this. Okay, so I know it's and I think you'd also get this. So this whole Instagram bio and on social media and on internet, the what you write about yourself, right?
yeah.
Bio is something you are writing about yourself, not anybody else writing about you, right? So of course, I think that is a lot. The pressure to write a bio is a lot more compared to anything else, I believe, in at least for me today. And so for I think the last 2 years, I think 2 years is when I have honestly very consciously chased this dream of children's book illustration. Like so far I have called myself an illustrator. Now I want to do children's book illustration, and I really wanted to do that, and I really chased it for a while. Okay, Finally, I think at the time of recording, I think a couple of days back, I think it was day before, if I'm not wrong, I finally woke up and I was like, no, I think I'm so a couple of my books and all came out and all of that happened. So I'm a published illustrator. So I finally was like, you know what, let's finally go and do it. And I know nobody probably even noticed that right now my bio says children's book illustrator. But for me, that's such a big deal that, you know, for me, that means the world and that means the most, even if nobody sees that. So I absolutely get what you mean. And I think, yeah, and I won't say that, oh, you should go ahead and call yourself an animator. I think, yeah, you know, the day you know you are ready, you know you are ready. And that's probably the day you will be the proudest of your work. At least that's what I feel.
Yeah. So even when I add illustrator, some days I feel, am I an illustrator? Like, I just draw and I feel like I'm a storyteller and drawing is the medium that I use. If you can call it illustration, animation, I don't know. But yeah, definitely the day I can call myself an animator, I would be very proud. Like when I come to the acceptance that, okay, I can animate. Right now, it's not there. So that's what I'm saying. Like, because when once you go viral, I don't know how people take it. For me, it was just, it came too suddenly. I wasn't expecting it and I didn't know what to do with it. So I didn't get the time to process it. And then I was just working for 3 months and then it hit me that I should, you know, sit back and just look at the situation from some distance. So then I stopped taking illustration work. I was focusing on my parents' house and then I started procrastinating. Then I was too scared to, you know, sit at my iPad and draw something and like, okay, what if it's not good enough? I'm very self-critical, very, extremely. Even whatever I posted, I can see mistakes in that. And like, yeh kya banaya hai, you know what I feel?
Right.
But then before Diwali, I was like, no, I should get back to this. This is the chosen career for me right now. So then I really spent 5 days. I made that one Diwali ka illustration, animation, and I put it up. And then there was good response. So once you get thoda validation, you feel nice. Ki, oh, I can do this. So
correct. It's from one validation to the next validation.
And once your content is on social media, even your work is like that. If you post, you'll get work. If you don't post, you won't get work. So for 2 months, people weren't reaching out to me. But as soon as I posted that Diwali thing, again, I'm getting work opportunities. So slowly, I'm getting back to it. Even my parents' house is almost done now. And then I want to switch to illustrating full-time.
Okay. So quick question. Are your parents paying you by any chance anything, any remuneration? Oh, they're paying you?
Yes.
Oh,
my
parents, that's so cool.
Yeah. And when I told them the fees that architects get in India, they were so shocked. They were like, "Itna kam kamate ho tum log?" I'm like, yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, God. Yeah. That's a burn. Okay. But that's so sweet. Yeah, that's so cool.
I'm doing it with two of my friends from college. They have a firm. They're my roommates. So yeah. So they have a firm in Gujarat and then they are helping me with this project. So all of us are getting paid. Yeah, my parents are very clear about that. We are not going to get any free work from you.
That is so cool. Otherwise, I would have thought, you know, it's almost like, you know, when you're in your family, you have a doctor.
Yeah.
Suddenly, nobody goes to the clinic anymore. Like, even your neighbors come to you, "Are chai peene aage nahi acha beta sunna, thoda aisa khasi ho raha hai, kya karna chahiye?" So, yeah, that would come in. But anyway, coming back. So,
So that is how it was for my illustration work. So I was telling you, I was with my sister abroad when she had a baby. So my parents were also there. And every day I used to sit at my desk with my iPad and I used to draw something and post it on Instagram. Of course, I didn't have a lot of followers. My parents didn't understand what I was doing. So ever if there was some housework, my mom would call me. And I would get frustrated that, "Mom, even I am working." She's like, "What work you're doing? You're just drawing. That's
your
work." Like, oh my God, this is also work. But once it started getting some attention, they were like, "Oh, maybe you're doing something."
Yeah, something is going in the right direction.
Yeah, and now they're just proudly sending it to people on WhatsApp. "Dekho, dekho, ye kiya."
Oh, nice. It's so cute. So cute. Okay, so tell me this. From the content, let's talk about the content side of things. Because, you know, as much as I have a love-hate relationship with Instagram as well, thanks to algorithms and all of those crappy stuff, I do understand, and of course, you know, I would not deny the power of that tool or that platform or any platform for that matter, where people come and, you know, interact with each other and, you know, you share ideas and you get work and stuff. Like, honestly, the fact that I could change my bio to children's book illustrator is 100% thanks to Instagram. Of course, my efforts, yes, but also the fact that, you know, that platform exists. I can't deny that, right? Now, coming back, so, and I know, you know, honestly, I have left the Mohmaya of numbers completely. It has my, if I check my numbers have stayed exactly the same. Exactly the same for 1.5 years now. I don't know how that is possible.
Okay.
Not a single digit upar ya niche. It has been exactly the same for 1.5 years. Yeah, for 1.5 years now. I have no clue what happened, and I don't want to also know. But I do know that, you know, a lot of people, and rightly so, you know, they would want to grow their profile as well. Because let's just face it, somebody who's just starting today may want to, or actually may or should go for, you know, building up those number of followers, at least so that it brings in that credibility. Because let's just face it, in today's, even if you go to, let's say, Amazon for that matter. Yeah, right. So when you're going to Amazon for that matter to buy something, you are, before buying it, scrolling down to see the number of reviews, and based on that, you're buying it, right? So if you look at it from the other side, it makes sense. So let's say if you want to, if you're looking for clients, a client needs to first, one, of course, they fall in love with your work, but they also need to have that trust in you, that faith in you, and probably that number brings in some form of credibility. That's for sure. Coming back, did you crack, or have you cracked the viral algorithm or viral formula?
No, I don't think so. I have cracked it. Sorry?
How do you make things go viral?
I have no clue how things go viral. Like, that was one reel that I didn't think it will go viral. Before that, all the, like, I'll be very honest with this. Whatever I was putting up before that one reel, I wanted it to get a lot of attention, a lot of views. And maybe that was my motivation behind posting it. And I was very regular. Like, every third day I would post something. Even I would stay awake, I would finish my animation and I'll post it. But with this one reel, like, the whole motivation was doing a good job. Honestly, like, no big words. That was the whole thing. I posted it, maybe relatability, I think, is one thing that makes things go viral on Instagram. That reel was something that people could relate to, I feel like. And anything can go viral. I haven't cracked it. I don't know. But the only way is you need to keep creating. Like, if you stop, then you won't go viral. You need to keep creating. And, you know, there are...
You need to be on top of that algorithm's mind before you can go viral. Okay, it makes sense. Tell me this. So I do understand and agree with the point of that relatability factor. So tell me this. When you are thinking of an idea, what inspires you? Like, based on what do you decide, okay, the next time I'm going to make this?
Nothing. Like, everyday things. So now there's a lot of nostalgia content that I'm putting out. It's maybe because of the pandemic that we were all at home. There's, like, I'm still living the pandemic. I feel like I'm in Indore. I don't have a lot of friends here. So no social life. So I am living in past tense. Like, all my memories are back from before the pandemic. And then nostalgia also happens that way. So if you start thinking about small incidents from your life, these small stories come up. Like, the first reel that I posted, it was because my mom was actually cooking something and guests were going to come and she didn't let me eat it. So I was like, arey, bachpan se yehi hota raha hai, mama. And then I was like, it sabke saath hi hota hai. Let's just make a reel out of it. And yeah, so that's the motivation. And things just, like, for Diwali, what do you do? So Rangoli is something that I'm interested in. I make a Rangoli every year. So something about that. So small events, whatever happens around you, something that happened that has been a memory for me. I just make that.
Makes sense. So I think for you, the motivation is not necessarily ki kya bikega, as in what will work. You probably are putting yourself first and kind of creating something that you want to create. And then you'll also, of course, look at the relatability factor of it. Okay, that makes sense as well. From the illustration style, or let's say, you know, from purely that perspective, because, you know, not everybody wants to do animation, and, you know, a lot of static illustrators like me as well. Now, any tips for, let's say, somebody who's up and coming and, you know, wants to make something out in this particular side of things? Any tips that you would give, like, you know, you should do this or you should focus on this, anything like that?
focus on what you're interested in, and everyone has something that they are good at. Like some people have really clean lines, someone do a great job with, you know, little messy lines. So don't try to copy others, because initially I used to look at a lot of illustrators and used to try to copy their style, but then I didn't reach anywhere. And then once you start really using your skill set, what comes out, the outcome is really good. So I just feel that whatever style is something, I don't think I still have a style. So art style comes, I don't know how people have an art style. If I have an art style, I don't even know that. But just keep working on the skills that you are good at. Just don't copy is one thing that I feel. Like, you can reference other illustrators, definitely. You can look at things that you like. You can do trial and errors. But in the end, try to realize what you are good at and use those things. Those are your weapons, I feel. Like, I realized that drawing spaces is my skill that I have, and I can use that. And that's helping me now.
What next? I'm slowly taking this towards a closure. So what next for you? What is the next? Of course, you know, the numbers keep growing, and that's a separate conversation altogether. But what next for you?
Currently, because I'm coming out of a slump, I think right now it's just to stay more consistent with my work, putting out my work out there. And I want to make a website right now, because I think right now I'm only on Instagram. I want my work to be on more platforms, and a website is necessary for that. And then one thing, not immediate future, but I really want to get into a product line, like a merch thing or something. Makes I don't sense. Know. I haven't given the thought. It is a hard journey. I remember your conversation with, I don't know, it was Nori or Vijaya from Spree for It. Someone, you guys were talking about products, and you guys have done merch and the money that you put in, and
I think that was Vijaya.
I remember. So like, I'm scared.
Nori has gotten really well. So Nori, if you're listening by any chance, like, I'm super proud of the way you've turned things around, and she's doing some amazing stuff. She's honestly doing some amazing stuff.
So good.
Yeah, exactly. She's honestly doing some good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that was Vijaya having that conversation.
Yeah, Vijaya. I think so. Yes. See, I listen to all the podcasts. I know stuff.
I absolutely get it.
Yeah. So maybe a product line, not this year, maybe next year sometime. So that is one thing that I want to do.
This year to anyways,
be more consistent. And get to a day where I can call myself an animator proudly.
I really hope that happens for you. I honestly hope that happens for you. I really hope, you know, more good things come out for you from the animation side of things, because that's clearly something you are interested in. So I honestly hope that works. So for your merch, of course, you know, that remains to be one of the ways to kind of, you know, get some side income, I would say, for an illustrator, because that's clearly not something you have to actively do to kind of earn that money. You kind of do it once and you kind of repeat it over a period of time. You kind of harvest it over a period of time. So I think that's a pretty cool idea. And I think, you know, how these things work also, I am noticing now, is that the more you get yourself deeper into this whole game, the more you realize that there are other ways of earning as well. Because at this point, of course, we're talking about the money part of it. There are other ways of earning as well. And then you don't know how much they will pay you, but then you're like, chal karke dekhte, let's just try it out and see what comes out of it. And then, you know, you just do it with the optimism that it'll click and probably it will do as well. So yeah, that absolutely makes sense. Sure, Mansi. So probably one more thing I'd like to ask you, and with that, of course, you know, we'll go towards the closure. If I tell you that, you know, one thing, because I know you just mentioned, because while I'm talking to you, I'm constantly looking at your, you know, artwork as well on your Instagram, of course. I know you just mentioned that you don't have a style, and, you know, last season I kept on talking to people about, I was there, I was like, oh, I don't have a style, but now I think I do have a style. But if I have to ask you, what is that one adjective, I would say, or maybe anything, let's not limit it to an adjective. So what is that one aspect of your art that you know clearly calls you out apart from spaces. I know you mentioned that you know spaces is something which is very I won't say unique, but very close to you, very personal to you. Is there anything else apart from the spaces perspective which you know is really an integral part of your artwork?
For me, I feel it's the storytelling bit of it, like the relatable stories that people have through my artwork. I'm not chasing that while creating it, but I just feel that those stories become relatable to people. The storytelling.
True, I don't know. Makes sense.
Do you think I have a hard time like looking at my?
I do. No, so I'm actually, you know, right now I'm looking at a couple of your work. I do see that you know you are your style kind of is fluctuating with from time to time from artwork to artwork. I do see that for sure, but I also do see a slight bit of a pattern coming out of most of them. It can be you know the way you do the eyes for that matter, or the face for that matter, the skin tones that you choose, also the color palette that you're choosing. You know, people listening to it, please go to her page and I'm sure you'll see what I'm trying to say, that you know a very specific color palette which you have kind of consistently held on to. I do again see a few of them where you know it's coming out of the color palette and it's absolutely fine. You're experimenting at this point, but I do see a certain color, you know, temperature feel. I do, like you said, a lot of pattern work I see a lot, and that clearly is, you know, something I have not seen in a lot of other people's thing. For example, you know, one of the posts where there's this air cooler and there's this guy in a, you know, vest and, you know, with a, what do you call, a cape made out of a towel, right? I do like the fact that you have even gone into that whole idea of, you know, putting a pattern on the sofa and on the pillowcase as well. And on the I can see it now, on the curtain as well. So that's the whole point. Like I do see that, you know, those attention to detail, which of course ends up being into what style is. So of course I do see a style coming up, the way you're working. For sure this is going to develop. That's the only way.
Hopefully.
Is there anything you are scared of?
I'm telling you, this whole thing, this imposter syndrome, where I feel that, see, numbers, I'm very grateful for that. But then right now, I don't want to get to a point where I stop enjoying this. I'm really enjoying this right now. And I want this to continue, because now finally I've found my jam, if you can call it. Like, I'm really enjoying this and I want to pursue this as a career. I feel like I've cracked it, like design, interiors, writing, drawing, everything. And I'm really enjoying
it. You tried a lot, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, at one point I was also trying set designing. Yeah, I was talking to set designers from Bollywood and all that. So I've tried a lot of things and finally I feel I've reached somewhere where I'm really enjoying what I do. So I'm scared of, you know, losing this and not enjoy, like one day I just stop enjoying this. I don't want that to happen. And also, like, learning new softwares is hard. So, and
it is,
social media game is ever changing. Instagram was a static platform. Now we are all trying to make reels. What if this changes? I'll have to learn new things. So it is really daunting. But then currently I'm enjoying all of it. Hopefully it stays.
And also, if tomorrow, you know, like you said, if you tomorrow you kind of lose interest out of it, then what? You've always, from your story, what I feel is you've always figured your way out into something, and you've clearly been really good at the previous thing, and yet you decide to do something else. And that's a pattern which may repeat, and that's absolutely fine. I think by now you should have the confidence because you've done it so many times. So I think with that experience, it should come. Okay. My last question for you, which is again, you know, the way I end all my conversations. Of course, I'm sure you've heard this question some 50 times already. If you've really heard, and I know you've heard most of the episodes. Do you know what the question is?
What is it? I think I forgot.
Okay. It's been a while.
I know.
Okay. So the question is, drum rolls. Why do you make art? Why do you do this?
Oh, I know. You ask this to everyone. Because it brings me joy. Like, that's the only answer. Whenever I'm making art, sometimes I realize I'm smiling and I don't even know why I'm smiling. I'm just happy with the colors I've chosen sometimes. And it just
so
brings
cool.
me immense happiness. And once when I've added all music and everything to it, and then I see the final piece and I'm like, wow, this is nice. I like it. So that feeling,
I
if I like
it.
Yeah, exactly that feeling. I think that's why I create art.
Perfect.
And it's
Perfect.
Also the best way for me to, you know, translate my emotions into something that people can see.
Mm. To make it more tangible and
more
accessible
tangible.
By other people.
Definitely.
Makes sense. Perfect. So, Mansi, thank you so much.
Yeah.
This was a really good conversation. Again, like I mentioned this a while ago as well, I really like the whole journey. Like, you know, how, because for me, it was slightly different because, you know, you at least got those marks. You at least got those really fancy marks and you had like so much of confidence around that. I did not get those marks, but at least, you know, I did like the fact that, you know, every time you did that, and again, it gives me also a very different perspective that it's not always, you know, the kids who get the highest marks, they are like always sorted and, you know, things work out. Also the idea that, you know, there's a lot of pressure on them apart from a lot of things, like the whole pressure of, you know, the consistent performance that they are bringing in.
Yeah.
Throughout, right? So that of course is a big thing, and from there taking a U-turn and saying, okay, no, you know, I don't think I'm gonna do this. So I think that takes a lot of courage, and I'm really happy for the fact that you could find that courage and confidence much earlier in your life, like, you know, rather than waiting and going with the flow for no real reason and then sitting down and crying over that whole thing. So I think that's something which I also can learn from your story in this case, which is, you know, the whole point of having that courage, ki theek hai, ho jayega, let's just try it out.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was definitely a good one for me. And I really hope, I fingers crossed, touch wood, all of those things, I really hope that, you know, very, very soon you get that confidence to also write animator on your bio. If nothing else, but for 1 year, and then you decide, okay, no, animation, okay, let's write something else. And that's fine.
Ghee shakkar.
Ghee shakkar, perfect. Ghee shakkar and poha. Given our conversation on poha also.
Ghee shakkar and poha.
Poha jalebi, exactly. That is ghee shakkar and poha. Exactly, that's ghee and shakkar and jalebi in a way. Perfect.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for your
thank
time,
you.
Mansi.
This is such a good conversation. Yeah, thank you
Agreed.
So much for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time and all the best. And yeah, so for the others, please do remember to check out her work. I'm sure most of you have already seen her work. I'm pretty sure you know what we are talking about. But yeah, if you're not, please go and check. Of course, you know, her profile link will be on the show notes of my page, of course, of this episode. And if possible, do drop by my page as well. Maybe I would have, you know, woken up from my sleep and posted something new for a change. But probably a reel. You never know. My God, what if I end up making a reel one of these days? But yeah. And yes, do remember to check out the Paper Pencil Podcast Instagram page as well. Okay, why did I say it like that? Okay, please check out the Paper Pencil Podcast Instagram page as well. Okay, awesome. That was a long sentence. And I will see you in a bit again with another guest in the Paper Pencil Podcast Season 2. Till then, cheers.